This is tape two of the interview with Ellen Moore.
Let's see, Louise Klepper got us at the end, by the end of each class, in a state of total ecstasy with what we were doing. It was almost always a very lyrical experience, but it had excitement. And people who graduated from here, as with master's or bachelor's degrees, who went to New York, who became professional dancers, fast. I mean, New York couldn't go on saying long what they were saying, because at one point Martha Graham had something like 7 graduates from this, from Louise's and Marge's program in the company at one time. But those people, when they were crossing the country, they would go out of their way from Chicago to Madison just for another class with Louise.
She was interviewed by somebody in the school of doing a series on the history of the School of Education, and I listened to the interview yesterday. Mm-hmm. He asked her if, when Marge Dobler left, whether they'd replaced her and what happened to the department, and it was clear that she, in his eyes, she didn't have any particular reputation, and certainly no one's ever heard of her, one hears of Marge Dobler.
Mm-hmm.
How would that have sat with her?
He talked to her as if she was someone with no reputation. And
yes, I mean, here was the great heroine of the uh-huh. department of dance.
Well, you see, the incredible thing that Marge had that no one has had since was her leadership ability and her administrative ability and her ability to walk up the hill in the early 20s and demand of the men up there that we have this program.
Wait a minute. Of whom are you saying
Marge.
This? Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
With the incredible support she got from Blanche Trilling, who wanted mm-hmm. the program as much as Marge did. In
yeah.
fact, it was Blanche's idea, as and you've probably read
yes,
your,
that's been
the background. I mean, Marge would have been unusual today, with all of the extra power that women have, a few. I mean, it's just really incredible that she happened to come along then and do was what she was able to do. No one has had the administrative ability or the ego strength to deal with the hierarchies in the university of women physical educators, men physical educators, deans of schools, and whoever else is up there. Louise was a dancer, a magnificent dancer.
But
she did not have a lot of, she never took credit for the dancer she was.
Hmm.
She had a Prussian father, and then she allied herself with Heinrich Hahn, who was also of German descent. Louise was used to having a Prussian father. She could have a Prussian dancer that she allied with in Heinrich Hahn's dance group. And I think Louise did a lot, helped a lot with the choreography, but I am not a dance historian, really. And I don't know that for sure. That would be a good question to ask Louise, is how much did she help with the choreography for the home group?
Mm.
Hanya was a choreographer. I'm sure she did a lot of it. I know that Louise did endless drudgery for the company, and it was the Depression, and all those costumes had to be made, and there was no money to pay anybody for anything they did for the home company, I feel quite sure. They taught for pennies. They traveled a little bit on the East Coast to teach in places other than New York City. I know that Louise had some surgery. It may have been appendicitis. She had some scar tissue. That had something to do with her leaving the dance, the performing world, and coming out here to teach.
Mm.
She decided that it was time, that it made sense for her to get into the university system. But again, I don't know what Marge said to her. I don't know how it happened to be Louise. Isn't that strange that I've never asked these questions?
Well, I am hoping to interview her.
What?
I am hoping to interview her again to do another...
Good. I think that would all be terribly interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm. So she was second fiddle here. There's no question
yes,
about
it. Marge. It was Marge's program. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, until Marge left.
And with Louise's assent. Yeah.
I think Louise, I suppose some decisions got made that Louise probably didn't agree with. But I think on the whole, my impression of the faculty when I was a graduate student was that they worked beautifully together.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was very happy that Marge did what she did. I don't think they wanted to do it. I can't imagine Louise wanted to do any of the administrative organizing stuff that Marge did just automatically. Louise wanted to do the creative dance theater stuff. She loved helping us with our dances. She taught composition.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot about composition from Louise. I've also studied composition with Louis Horst and Doris Humphrey, and each of those three courses were utterly different. And I've had it with Hanya Holm. We also all had a percussion course with Louise, which again was another kind of rhythmic study, where we also learned to accompany movement classes on percussion instruments. She taught that class marvelously. She knew it inside out. Mm-hmm. We learned a tremendous amount from her. But she was not a chairperson sort of personality. Mm-hmm. She was too democratic. I don't think she'd know who I'm saying. I think... am I jumping ahead? I was talking about the faculty dovetailing so beautifully when I was a graduate
mm-hmm,
student.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley Genther was here with all of her acquaintance with the other art worlds, music and art, being married to an architect. And being herself. And she had been commuting up here from Chicago. She had lived with a psychiatrist up here. So Shirley knew a lot about what was happening in the forefront of the development of psychotherapy and had a lot to do with some of the graduate students doing some thesis work at Mendota with mental patients. And a lot of us went out there as a part of those projects.
That early?
Yep.
I mean, that's not in the 60s? I thought that
mm-hmm.
started in the 60s.
I was going out to Mendota between 49 and 51 when I was a student here. And it had been going on already.
So it was...
There was
a
doctor, Edna Fitch, and a Dr. Haruza,
yeah.
who both were an influence on Shirley and on all that. So we had Shirley, who knew the music and the rhythm, and who knew art and who knew architecture, and who therefore knew form. And she taught us classes in how to write music for our own dances. And I don't think she thought, and many of us would go ahead and regularly write music for our own dances. But it acquainted us with what some of the really important things were to be aware of when you were juxtaposing music and dance. And what were all the complexities that one had to consider? What in the sound creates the tension that the dance is about? In the muscle that creates the dance? I mean, it was fascinating and wonderful, and I've never forgotten that stuff. I had a lot of music, and it was just very rich information. I don't know how many people who are choreographing ever had that kind of rich background out of which to work. So we had Shirley with all that information. We had Louise with all of her professional dance information and all that she had in her own body about how to be a marvelous dancer. And we had Marge, who had all of that scientific, factual, intellectual source material.
Mm-hmm.
and who had the organizing ability. That, and then eventually we had Joe Hawes come in, who also was an accompanist. So it was a very rich time.
Mary Fee comes later, is that right?
I think she came right after I left as a graduate student. And when by the time I joined the faculty, she was on it. And I think she had tenure by then.
So you...
And Louise had tenure. And Anna Nassif had tenure in Timor.
That's...
Zaina, I think, got tenure early in the period I was there.
You left in 1951.
51,
All right, and you came back, you said, in 57.
I taught for three years. I came back here, 51, two, three, four, came back here fall of 54, into spring of 55, got married in 55. That was a one-year leave of absence for Michigan State. I didn't ever go back to Michigan State as a result of getting married. Wait, I've got something mixed up. Yeah, I came, I had been at Michigan State. They wrote me a letter asking to come back and be a member of the faculty.
A tenured member.
I guess they were going to put me on the tenure track. I was hardly aware there was such a thing in those days. And they didn't talk about it much at East Lansing. They invited me to come back and join the faculty. I said I didn't think I wanted to do that because it was very important for me to be away from my teachers and find out who I was without my teachers.
Oh, excuse me. Here they invited you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm. I see.
I was hired to teach at Michigan State when I.
Yeah.
Left here. I went to Connecticut again, took some more courses with those same top of the heap people, and then picked up a job there from someone who was leaving a job, and it was at East Lansing. Taught there for 3 years. It was 3 years because I had the letter from here asking me to come back here and teach.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to become a permanent member of the faculty. I didn't think it would be good for me. I said there would be a lot I would learn if I came back, but that I felt it was very good for me to not be here. So they wrote back and said, would I take a 1 year, would I come and teach for a year there, here? And I said, yes, I would. That sounds great. And then I met Cole Scott, and so we got married, and it was at the end of that marriage that there was a position open on the faculty, and I applied for it, and they gave it to me.
And that's in?
The same day I applied.
Yeah.
That was 60, spring of 69. I started in the fall of 69.
69?
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't here during the 60s?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, so you can't tell me any of the things that I wanted to know about, because that's when...
Well, I know. I knew a lot of people who were students in the department. I heard their complaints.
Well, could you talk about what you... I know that Anna Nassif was hired in 62 and Tibor Ghana and Zana in 64.
And she actually, when I was in the country, every so often we went abroad. Cole Scott had... grants and things that we went and did and then came back. And I did some dancing and studying over there, too. So that was wonderful. When I was in the country, I was teaching teenagers on Saturdays. And that was an adjunct to the teaching classes that were being done as part of the dance program.
Well, then you were, weren't you performing too?
I was. I was also a member of a dance group formed by one of the graduate students, Jerry Glover. So I was in the building a lot. I was also in the building taking classes.
Well, then you were.
I was
here.
Going to classes just to keep in shape. I was having children too. So I was taking Louise's classes some more. I was taking. Well, yes, mainly Louise's classes in those days. Once I was on the faculty, I took classes with the people who were on the faculty then, Warren, Larry Warren, Anna, I took some of Anna's classes. I took some of Claudia's classes. I took everybody's classes, mainly because I wanted to stay in shape, and I took them whenever I could. But it also gave me information about what was going on. But during the 60s, see, I was married in 55, Louis was born in 58. I don't have the dates of the years of the several times we went to Europe, just at the top of my head. But if I joined the department in 68, there were about 10 years in there when I was moving in and out of the department, teaching the teenagers when I was here, and taking classes, taking the advanced technique class. And so I heard a lot of comments about, well, you know, students always do have to complain. I mean, they bring an accumulation of complaints of a lifetime along with them wherever they are. And if they're in a program, I'm sure there are ways they can take some of those unresolved issues with their parents and transfer them right onto dance faculty. And of course, if it's dance, the faculty, and they're making dances, they are working out of their histories and their emotional material. And so it's up and available and working, whether they are that aware of it or not. And it can be sloshed in any direction. So share of complaints.
Could have been the best department in the world, and they still would have complained.
Yeah, they've complained. I complained about Marge's teaching when I got here, going back to what we were saying. And she said to me one day, "You are like a wild colt. You are so bounding with energy, and you want so badly to get on with things." And I think a number of us felt that way, and we did complain to each other, and the PE people complained bitterly, not to us, I think, but you could see their resentment in class. And she eventually separated them out and put them in a separate group, and I think that was better for them. Mm-hmm. If I'd been one of them, I certainly would have been more comfortable in a separate group. I don't think I ever heard anyone complain about Louise's technique classes. And we all, I think, really, if we felt impatient with the beginning of Marge's classes and the slow process, which I came to understand more and more and appreciate, but if we did, we all adored the end of her class, where she pulled it all together and gave us all that freedom, and Joe or Shirley were playing the piano, and they were wonderful accompanists. And so there may have been these complaints that were some of the byproduct of coming in and studying dance. But we were well fed when I was there as a student, and when that group of faculty, we felt cared for.
Yes.
And we were fed in every conceivable way a dance student could be fed.
Now, what happened after she left then? Who carried on that part of it?
Well, I think Louise was chair by herself for a while. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't have a head for history, so
she was, yes, but she and Mary Fee. But who carried on the theory?
They did. She gave? Mary Fee was delegated most of the theory.
Did they talk the same way Marge Dobler did?
I think Mary did what Marge would have wanted her to do, namely, take the information and do it the way it was fitting for her to do it. And I think that's what she did.
And then,
it was not like Marge, I'm quite sure. It was like Mary Fee, because that's who she was. And Mary Fee did not have a long history in dance. She had a history in Red Cross work and overseas work during the war, I think. And she was a clerk in a court. So that is not exactly a typical dance background that she came in with. But she liked to dance. Her body had not danced enough to look like a real trained dancer's body, but it had a lot of dance in it. I think she, too, liked ballroom dance and had done a lot of it as when she went through that period of her life.
So as soon as Marge Dobler left, things would have begun to change? And
instantly.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't there. And nobody was Marge. And we found that out, sadly, very quickly. Nobody had those particular leadership and administrative abilities that she had.
So does the decline of the department begin right then?
Mm-hmm, I think so. She could handle the PE powers.
And
she could make them all feel good. She could make everybody feel good, as far as I know, although there was this underlying current from Ruth.
And it was important.
I mean, she could make them feel good enough so that she could just get what she needed.
Mm. And Louise Klepper couldn't then.
With Louise, it always felt like we were underprivileged sisters.
In fact, she says
younger
that.
Younger sisters. She says that too.
She said we were invisible.
Invisible?
Mm.
Well, I don't know if that's completely true, because I always figured that the PE department got a lot of status from our programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on being considered the important program we were for a long, it took a long time for word to get around, really, comprehensively, that things weren't the same here.
What, 10 years or more?
Well, she left in 54. I got married in 55. I came back, yeah, that's right. I came back the year after she left and got married. I came back the fall of the year she retired. I wasn't here for it, so that connection has never been that clear to me either. I came back for that 1 year, but then you see, I left away again, I left following the same in the fall in the. I was here approximately. Well, I was here until the beginning of 54, 55, 56.
Yeah. But you came back in 1960, and you're in charge of modern dance for
59
then.
I was back in the country, but I wasn't on the faculty until 69.
No, but I mean in 1960 you were in charge of as you said, dance for high school
children.
That's
right, that's right.
And were around the department.
Was on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So, of course, I would get overtones.
But you were taking classes.
I was in the department, I was taking classes.
Do you know how Anna Nassif got here, and do you remember your first impressions of her? Is it Anna or Anna?
She came and did a master's degree. There wasn't such a thing as a master's degree. It's anything that comes out of your mouth, Anna, however it comes out. She was doing graduate work, I think, when I was coming to rehearsals in Jerry Glover's group. And I remember seeing some of Anna's, I tend to call her Anna because I'm quite sure we all did in those days. I saw quite a lot of her choreography during the 60s. I came to the concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I saw John Wilson's choreography. I saw Molly Lynn's choreography. That was another way I was in touch with the department. I saw most of the concerts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I saw what was happening. And a lot of good things were happening. There were a lot of good people here as PhD candidates. By then they had set up a program for the PhD program, and they'd also set up the Master of Fine Arts program, and I think Anna might have been one of the first MFA recipients.
She was hired in 1962. She was the resident choreographer, or the choreographer in residence in 1960. An article describes it as such. So she was already an important member of the, even before she was hired. What kind of a dancer was she?
Well, she was born into a body that tended to be stout, tended to gain weight easily, wasn't very tall. Suppose the bones are not small bones like mine, larger scale bones. And so she has always had to deal, I would guess, with the problem of her body gaining weight easily. And so she is not the shape that you expect a dancer to be. But she had a lot of stage power, a sense of the dramatic. She had a Master of Fine Arts in music, or a master's degree, one or the other, first. So she had all that musical background. Mm-hmm. And she's very art sensitive. So she brought all of that. I think the big problem is that no one else was encouraged to do choreography. And Anna felt she had to keep producing and producing and producing. And I think she, for over a long period of time, expected herself to make more dances than any choreographer should ask of herself. And since, you see, Molly Lynn also was something of a choreographer, and then some of these PhD candidates, some of them were choreographer types. John Wilson was. And I think another problem was, I don't think Louise would mind my saying this, I don't feel like I'm talking behind her back, that not being an enthusiastic administrator to support the productions of more than one choreographer was a lot of hassle. And we never had control of our budget. PE always told us what we had to spend. Louise was not good at going over to PE and demanding. Louise never demanded anything of anybody. That is not one of the things she had in her. She was a magnificent dancer. Everyone who saw her dance went into there's a word, I can't think what it is. And it's like spasm, but it's
ecstasy, is that what you mean?
That's close. But I mean, you know, it's just not, she was a good dancer. It was, Louise was the best, the greatest. Mm-hmm. A near swoon at the thought of how she moved on stage. Mm-hmm. Louise had helped Hanya with her productions, but Hanya probably was very good at getting what she needed if it was anywhere to be had in the Depression. I don't think Louise was. I think Louise was a very good backup person, a hard, tireless worker. And that's what she was used to doing. And to be in the forefront in the role of chairperson was just not... She was very used to getting productions to happen mm-hmm. on stage. You'd think, I mean, she had that ability. She knew the costumes had to be made. She knew when. She knew they had to be tried on. She knew we had to have the idea. But then she was working with people who were sensitive to the project. She was not working with women athletes. I don't think she felt any compatibility or sympathy with him particularly, or closeness, or mutual ground, or anything. And nor do I think they felt it with her. She was terribly likable. No one could dislike her. And she had a sense of humor, a wonderful sense of humor.
But she couldn't go and say, we need more money, we need to put on more performances.
Well, my sense was that she couldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe she could in a bare-bones sort of way, but not in a way that established, this is the new regime, we will go right on doing things well. Do you need to turn that
up?
I'm not a doctor. I do not know how much... All right, let's say that I was impressed with the amount of alcohol that was consumed by a lot of the women in the department and their friends at the banquets, at the bar. But growing up with non-alcoholic parents, I was never comfortable around drinking, including my husband's. So the whole alcoholic component in the department was unfortunate. I don't know when Louise started to drink. She is willing to talk about how recently she went to Stoughton, and in a month, at a time in her life when she was ready, and in a month, simply made the decision and had the therapy that made it possible for her, as far as I know, to stay on the wagon since. And it is such a pleasure to see her feeling good with her authentic energy,
yeah,
and not in a state of recovery all the time from her last. And I did live with her for 9 months. I don't think Louise was very compatible with alcohol. I think a little alcohol was toxic to her quite soon. And I was aware that she would stay up at night and drink. I don't know how much. After I went to bed, and I would hear her anger coming out that dated way back to her. All of those people who dominated her life, one after the other. But if a person is trying to carry the responsibility of a dance program and struggling with not being able to carry alcohol well, the program is bound to suffer. I also don't know how much Mary Fee drank, but I think a similar amount. She had a lot of enthusiasm for drinking, I think. She came from the South. I grew up thinking that drinking was something Southerners, a lot of them did a lot of. I never saw anybody drunk anywhere. I did see a lot of people drinking a lot and talking as if they had had enough to have a lot to do with their speech. Mm-hmm. They were all very well coordinated, so they probably did less staggering than some other kinds of people would. And I never stayed very long. As soon as the drinking was well underway, I was disappearing because I didn't care to participate. I didn't like the conversation. They all smoked. I didn't smoke. I really liked my body the way it was. And Marge didn't drink or smoke. And she was my model. And my mother was, and my father, you know, they didn't. My father had a heart condition. He had to be careful. They gave sherry to their friends when they came to our house. But I really liked the way my body felt, uncontaminated by that stuff. So I didn't really want to be around when it was going on. But we all were aware that Louise would come to the department, and you could tell she'd been drinking, and you could smell it.
And was this going on then after she left? Were others?
It was going on, I'm quite sure, while she and Mary were co-chair people. I don't think it works to have co-chair people of anything.
No.
I found that out when I did my master's project with one of the other students. It was very hard to sort out who was doing what, mm-hmm, and when one of us should dominate or not. And so having had that experience, when I saw Mary and Louise struggling with being co-chair people, I could see it wasn't working, and I knew from my own experience that it didn't work very well. And how do you get a strong leader if there are two people trying to figure out who is doing what?
But even then Louise was chair by herself for a while. But I mean, did this go on as a problem in the department even after she left?
In the department, after Louise left, that is the period when I dropped out of contact altogether. Louise was still Louise and Mary were still chair people when I left.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they retired about the same time. Maybe Mary was chair by herself until she retired. I think Louise retired slightly ahead of Mary.
Oh, wait, this is, you're talking about the mid-70s then.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Well, okay.
During the 60s, when I came in, they were both chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were chairing together when I came in. I'm quite sure they were. No, wait a minute. No, wait.
Louise became chair. She took on the chairmanship by herself in 1960, and Mary Fee did something else, which may have been so similar as to amount to co-chairs.
Yeah. Now, maybe officially Louise was the chair. Louise, yeah, I think of them as co-chairs and how it didn't work. But as a matter of fact, Louise was chairing all the meetings, so she obviously was the chair. I think Mary was chairing the graduate program. I'm not absolutely sure about that.
Well, now you came back onto the faculty in 1969,
mm-hmm.
at which time there were people like Nassif and Zana,
mm-hmm.
and Klepper and Fee and Brennan,
mm-hmm.
and John Wilson.
I think he'd gone.
Nancy Miller.
She'd gone.
Molly Lim.
She'd gone. I took her position.
Larry Warren.
He was on.
And Bernadine Madol.
She was gone.
All right. These names crop up, and
uh-huh.
I wasn't sure.
Uh-huh.
And you were brought back as what?
Assistant professor.
Who invited you here?
Was it
a mutual decision by the whole department?
I suppose. Because they were part of the department. I think mm-hmm. Louise probably said, of these people, this is our best candidate, we think.
Mm-hmm.
And told the PE people that I was the one they wanted to hire.
Mm-hmm.
Called me up, told me I was hired. I don't think I ever got a letter saying I was hired.
Mm. And you were very excited about it?
Telling me they wanted me to head the teaching dance to children area. And I said, Louise, don't you think you ought to have somebody who has done a lot with teaching children to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think you need a specialist of some sort for that? She said, well, we can't bring anybody here for part-time. We need somebody who's going to be full-time. And you also know how to do some of the other things we need. So this is how we thought we would handle this. And I thought, oh. I've never taught children. I've taught teenagers. And I've got small children.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I know how to teach a group of children well.
And you yourself thought of yourself as a dancer and a performer and a choreographer, too?
Because
you did some choreography.
I had done a lot of local choreography mm-hmm. in the musical shows around town.
Yeah.
For the university and for the Madison Theater Guild.
Uh-huh.
I did not think I had done much less with sort of serious art choreography removed from musical comedy. I had done much less of that.
Mm.
I had done some as a graduate student. What I needed was encouragement to do and trust to do more.
Mm.
I didn't get either. I was told, we don't want you to choreograph, by Louise over the phone that day. Anna does that.
Mm-hmm.
We are supporting Anna to be the choreographer in residence. We don't need anyone else choreographing. And I think she said something like, it puts too much pressure. I mean, that's more production than we can cope with, is what it meant, however she said it. That took away, right away, one means of getting tenure. However, I was in the process of divorce. I was in no state to choreograph.
Oh, I see. I was going to say to turn down a job.
Well, that's true.
Mm.
How do you make how do you make good art when you're furious and hurt and overwhelmed with the responsibility of raising children maintaining a big house, which I was not about to move out of. It's that same wonderful house.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I was relieved when she said, but that was before I knew what being on the tenure track meant. And there was no letter describing tenure track to me whatsoever. Eventually, stuff arrived in my mailbox talking about something called tenure track.
Mm-hmm. But you expected, for you, this, you had a prospect of being a member, a permanent member of the faculty.
Yeah, I just felt that what I had was extremely valuable. It was not like what other people were bringing, that I was a very valuable component in the picture. And I stuck up strongly for what I felt I could bring that the students needed. That was one way which I did speak out. Mm-hmm. My opinion about things. I immediately established a course in improvisation. I proceeded to teach it, although I had no idea how to teach improvisation. But I guess a lot of people learn how to teach a course by out of necessity. And I did push strongly for every student who came into the department to take my basic movement class, because there was going to be a lot of that Dober process in that class.
And there wasn't anything like that.
No. I think Fee had Dober a fair amount right before Dober retired. But she wasn't teaching the big movement classes. Mm-hmm. She was teaching movement and its rhythmic structure, which was a marvelous course that Marge taught all of us. Which was basically not a dance course as much as it was a theory movement course. Mm-hmm. But she did have students coming out of there having made a dance with very intense rhythmic awareness, which they weren't required to do anywhere else. So in that way, dances came out of her classes. But in terms of general dance growth,
yeah.
I was teaching all the new
well,
majors.
What was
in
T. Borzana teaching?
Ballet.
Oh.
What else was he teaching? He was teaching, I don't know how he could have been teaching full time, teaching those ballet classes. I think he was involved with television. Maybe he wasn't teaching full time in the department because he had his own company, you know, his ballet company. Maybe he really wasn't full-time. I had my hands so full, I wasn't asking any questions. You can tell I'm very vague on lots of the really nitty-gritty.
But they let you do what you wanted to do for the time.
They gave me classes that it was appropriate for me to teach. I did have this enormous assignment of teaching dance, teaching methodology of teaching dance to children. I had two sections. They were very full.
No, these are of education, students in the School of Education.
They came first, but very soon after they disappeared, and I never knew where they went. They were no longer required to come. Mm-hmm. But I had my hands full of dance majors. Anyway, I had something like two sections with 30
mm-hmm.
people in each section, or 27 mm-hmm. or something like that, and they all had to get their practice teaching experience in the course, their chance to teach children once at least, and watch each other try it. And that was a big load. And I taught the improvisation, and I taught on a fairly beginning level technique to all the students who came in. And some of them came in with having quite a lot of dance with other teachers. And I felt it was very important for them to come in to this slow-moving thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of movement class.
And did the students respond to this?
Some of them resisted mightily. Some of them were required because I convinced the faculty. They didn't know how to say no to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they complained at first, just like we did in Marge's mm-hmm. slow classes. And about 6 weeks after they'd been in there, they suddenly saw where we were going and what we were accomplishing.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an about face and were suddenly very willing to support what I was doing in that class.
Mm.
Quite wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. And
You're an assistant professor in.
So I saw the department intimately from 69 to 76.
And
probably we should stop here because it's 3:30.
It is
3:30. Quite right.
I just happened to notice. So I must depart because I have to teach at 6:30, and I have dogs in the car waiting for their afternoon walk, and I've got to start my countdown to get to class on time. I am perfectly willing to come back if
there's
more you want to.
All right, good, because there is. We'll stop now. Then.